All right, we're going to hook up here in a second with Ben Wagner, talk more about the Blue Jays, who are in Boston tonight and will actually be home for just a short homestand, three-game series against the Yankees at Salem Field tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and then they're off to Baltimore. And Ben Wagner, Jays play-by-play man, joining us on the Western Outline. Hey there, Mr. Wagner. How you doing? It's Howard and Jeremy.
Good. It's good to hear your voices again. How are you guys?
We're doing well. It's nice to have you on the show. Thanks for hanging out with us. So listen, this whole 8 home run thing, what the heck, man? What are you guys feeding the Jays?
I think it's been kind of percolating for like the last 2 years with this offense and the younger guys, one having and but also figuring out major league pitching a little bit more and realizing their strengths, right? And then the new guys buying in quickly, like Marcus Semien, right at the top of that order when there was question marks where he would even fit. Now he is the fit at the top in the absence of George Springer. And by this time next week, we might be talking about a completely different lineup, but hopefully the performance is the same. But what's happened the last 3 days in Boston, or 2 days really, because Friday was kind of a clunker, right? Saturday and Sunday with the power, the home run. They played Pepper with the monster in a different of an approach. It was pretty impressive to watch that lineup.
Hey, is it possible? What is going on with Springer? He's not ready to play this homestand here, is he?
This is a soap opera, Howard. It seems like it goes all the way back to opening day in New York when we thought we were just days away from seeing George Springer, but then the quad thing and then the brief return where they had him on the field for just like 2 days, and with big impact as well. Here's the thing. This rehab process with the quad has been in the lap of George Springer to give himself the thumbs up when he feels that he can be on the diamond and ready to play 9 innings. Now, I think when he comes back, it'll be a combination of being in center field and playing 9 innings, plus then some days as a DH. But at least we're in the final few days of having a lineup without George. The best case scenario, talking with Charlie, is that he travels back from Boston tonight after they wrap up that series, and then he takes a rehab assignment and plays in some minor league games with the AAA team in Rochester down the road. So they would like him to play and be on the field for a couple of days in a row, playing all 9 innings. So if he misses the New York series, the good news, he's there for Baltimore, and then he's back in Buffalo for that next homestand.
Ben, Jeremy and I were just talking about the race, the division and everything, and I guess specifically with the Yankees coming to town, the mess they seem to be in right now. How surprised are you?
Honestly, not that surprised, to be quite honest with you, especially with the way that the injury situations were even developing in spring training. I thought they would hit a little bit more, but yeah. I knew the pitching was going to be a big question mark. You know, DJ LeMahieu is one of the best in the game. In the way that he's struggling right now, it's just uncharacteristic for him. You don't expect that to be a long, long layoff. But when you have to designate guys for assignment that have been playing first base and providing, and the trades that they made, you were really questioning whether or not they had enough horses still in that lineup to perform. And any time that those guys go down, the big guys like Stanton or Judge, any time that they hit the injured list, they're gone for a significant amount of time. And it's not just 10-day minimums. It's weeks and most of the time months without them. Aaron Hicks is always a question mark. You got inconsistent play from Gleyber Torres the last couple of years. So there are just many, many things, one, troubling the Yankees, but also immediate question marks when you look at them.
I hate to use the word big in a question about a series played in mid-June in a Major League Baseball season, but whatever, I can't think of another word. The Boston series and now the Yankee series, how big are these back-to-back series for the Jays?
Really good. You know why? Because this also caps off a pocket of play for Toronto where they've had the toughest strength of schedule from all the way back to opening day to right now, right this week. And then the schedule gets significantly easier because you're going to have to play teams like Baltimore. You get them a cluster of times before the All-Star break. Yep. You finally get to see some lesser teams. Kansas City coming again. You've got Seattle coming up. That's really important. It's a pivotal moment. I don't know if it's a big moment, but it's a pivotal moment into the schedule where the Blue Jays are. But it's also a statement. You know, you get thumped good on Friday. You rebound with authority, good starting pitching, and your offense just absolutely attacks the Red Sox the way that they were able to do it on Saturday and yesterday, of course, with the 8 home runs. And then you can take advantage of a New York team that's kind of scuffling right now, and the manager is trying to make statements to that team to get it going in pretty public fashion.
Pivotal. That's good. See, I was too lazy. I went with three letters. You went and expanded on that. If you look at the Jays, so we know the order and what it is potential, what its potential is or what it is capable of doing, I guess I should say. I know this cropped up a little bit in Boston. If there is a question or a flaw, weak point, whatever right now for the Jays, is it the bullpen?
Oh, yeah. That's the leakiest part of this whole scenario. You know, they've got three guys that have been pretty consistent. Hyunjin Ryu, Robbie Ray, Steven Matz in that rotation. You like what you've seen from Alek Manoah, right? And Ross Stripling has completely flipped the script. So you're feeling way more confident about the starting rotation right now than you were 2 or 3 weeks ago. The lineup obviously is firing on all cylinders. And now with a couple of guys starting to hit even better, like Lourdes Gurriel Jr., this is a much longer lineup. What's the missing piece here of the big three? And that's the bullpen. The first issue with all that was the high leverage innings and the need that they were asked to have in April. So they were maxed out in their usage. Then the injuries crept up, and now you're getting inconsistent performances for guys that were really good in some situations, maybe overexposed, maybe not. But Tyler Chatwood is right now the poster child of that because he hasn't been injured, and he's just been inconsistent. But the hope is that if you've got Rafael Dolis, you've got Anthony Castro, plus then Jordan Romano is your big three in the bullpen. And Tim Mays has turned the corner a little bit too. So that gives you four really nice options. Plus then eventually you should get A.J. Cole and Ryan Barucki back. Now that bullpen is looking a little bit deeper. And that's good news for Charlie Montoya when he tries to navigate these things, because right now he's using these pieces of the puzzle that are kind of fringe pieces. And might get overexposed if they have to pitch more than once in a series.
We're with Ben Wagner, Jays play-by-play man on our Western Hotline. I was talking about DeGrom a little bit earlier, Ben, and how much fun it is to watch him. And this guy only plays every 5 days. How much fun is it, even though it's your job to talk about the Blue Jays, how much fun is it to watch Vlad Jr.? In your long time around baseball, all the years in the minors, you would have seen some of the top prospects in the game come through. And now in the majors the last few years, where's this guy on your list in terms of just pure joy getting to watch him play every day?
This is beyond expectations right now. Or maybe it is the expectation, right? This kid has 80 grade in prospectuses all over the place, and so much pressure because of who he comes from, the lineage that his father had in Montreal, and the success and the pressure as being a Hall of Famer's son. And did he wilt under that? I don't know. But he looked himself in the mirror in the last year and a half, and he changed everything about him. And this is the reward for him. Mm-hmm. And trust me when I say this, all the credit for this goes to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. It was his decision. It was his decision to stand up in front of his teammates. It was his decision to change how he was approaching his entire approach, the approach to being a professional athlete, let alone now the standout baseball player. And we're all benefiting from this because he's got, make up the line, right? He's got the cheat codes. He's got everything going on. And it's not only just the traditional statistics for average power and driving and runs. Now, you're talking about the advanced metrics where it's wins above replacement. It's the emphasis on slugging percentage or on base percentage. So it's beyond the triple crown potential here. It's like a 5-point crown that this guy is just dominating the game like.
All because he got his body into shape, or was just taking a more serious approach overall?
It's a combination of both. You know what? It's a refocus on both how he acts off the field and how he's acting on the field. Mm-hmm. And I think if you have a happy Vladimir Guerrero Jr., which you always have, and then all of a sudden you have a confident Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in where he's able to perform offensively and defensively, now you get the dangerous Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And this is the big turning point with me, too. He loves to hit. He knows he can hit. He's got unbelievable God-given skills here with this thing. But now with the defensive change that he's had, it's all coming together. And he's played a pretty good first base. Yeah. People don't give him enough credit for playing really good first base. And he's had tough throws to handle, especially from the left side of the diamond. But his footwork has continuously gotten better. His agility around the base has gotten better, and his feel for ranging to his right. And the flexibility has been off the charts. So, I mean, he has been a revelation defensively. And we're all just marveling at how he's turned this thing around.
Well, sir, thank you. It's always nice to have you on our station, first of all. We're glad things are going well with the season, and enjoy the rest of the Jays season, sir.
Sure will, and hopefully by the end of this thing, I get to be back in Buffalo. That would be a big treat.
That would be nice. You know, I think you know your way around the ballpark. You wouldn't have problems finding the broadcast booth.
Yeah. Intimate knowledge of the place. Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And Conehead's still there, so, you know, it would be just like, you know, you never missed anything.
And I heard Mark in the background of a broadcast. So, I mean, it's just like, you know, you're returning to your old haunt.
I saw, somebody tweeted out a picture of him wearing, I think, a Jays uniform. So that's nice to see, too. All right, Ben, thanks for coming on, man. We're glad you're doing well.
Good stuff. Thanks so much, guys.
All right, Ben, take care.